Reverend clergy, venerable religious, and my dear friends in Christ, every year on these 2 days, I tend to think of the same thing. Yesterday, we celebrated the great feast of Mary's Assumption into heaven. Today, the feast of her own father, St. Joachim. And with all of the pomp and the circumstance and the incredible heavenly joy we considered yesterday, maybe this is one little aspect that was left unconsidered. There in heaven, were really four people who could not wait for this glorious day. Of course, Almighty God, Jesus, her son, her spouse, Saint Joseph. But can we imagine a joy like the joy of her own parents, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne? This is the dream of every parent, fulfilled to the highest possible degree. Every parent wants more than anything else to see their children succeed, to see them happy. And a parent with faith, of course, understands that above all, far beyond success in this life, though we wish for that too, on a completely different plane is that spiritual success, that our children become saints. And so perhaps these parents, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, more than other saints, though there are many brilliant examples of parents in the lists of the saints, but St. Joachim and St. Anne ought to have a special place for every parent, that they intercede in helping you fulfill your holy vocation and see as they did that fulfillment in their child. What are some points that might be made about parenthood? First, as I say, it is a sublime vocation. There's this false notion sometimes that parenthood is almost like a default. Well, if you couldn't manage to be a priest or a religious, well, you'll settle for marrying someone. This could not be farther from the truth. If God calls a person and they have the generosity to respond to the priesthood or the religious life, then this is beautiful and it is a vocation set aside. However, for most men and women, God, in a similar way, calls. That is the meaning of this word, after all, vocation. From the Latin vocare, to call. And so husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, are truly called by God to fulfill a role, a sublime role. Because this vocation really is nothing less than doing God's work in the procreation of the human race, really a miraculous work that God has decided he will not do by himself, that he expects the cooperation of a man and a woman. And then with these gifts that God has given them, children, their vocation is to fashion saints for heaven. And this is no small task, no small calling. It is one that is beset with many, many difficulties. Even if parents could raise their children in a vacuum chamber, we had a padded cell and the catechism and food and water, probably wouldn't go well. But this is not the case. The reality is that we are meant to raise our children in the world. And we know full well the extent of influences, the influence of friends, the influence of, in our own time, lamentably, the internet, of so many social pressures and distractions. And so, what are parents to do? How can a parent secure their children's salvation? Well, one simple answer and an unfortunate answer to this question is that a parent cannot secure their child's salvation. Because, try as you might, every person has a free will. And that it comes down to the choices of that person, whether to cooperate with God's grace or not. Now, the way that a child is raised matters more than can possibly be described. But sometimes, even the greatest parent will have to suffer the falling away of a child. Consider, though not his child, Christ chose 12 men specifically. And from these 12 men, one of them was Judas. Is this a reflection on Christ's inability to lead his apostles? Of course not. Judas had free will. There is the often quoted or often cited example of Saint Monica, who was no doubt a saint and a zealous saint, but her son, Saint Augustine, really fell off the bandwagon. However, her perseverance, her prayers, her sacrifices brought Saint Augustine back, and he became a great saint himself. And so it's important that parents do not fall into the depths of despair if something goes wrong. It's easy to hyperanalyze the past. However, this tends to only lead to discouragement. So, but back to what is a parent to do to raise children in these difficult times? And of course, there is no easy, simple answer, but I do think that there are a few things that can help immensely. I believe with the raising of children, just as in a relationship, when a couple is to get married, this is something that the priests, I think, say on repeat. You have to communicate. There must be good and charitable communication. This is true also with the raising of children, that there are many times when discipline has to be maintained and how often have we said or heard from our own parents, because I said so. This, of course, has its place, especially with younger children, because, again, the parent is the parent, not the friend. And you're going to obey because I'm the boss. That's what God made me. So because I said so. However, if this is the only means of communication that is had with a child, that there is never an explanation, especially of the more important things. Why do we have to go to church today? Because I said so. Well, that's automatically, I think, making something that should be beautiful and consoling into a cause for grumbling and maybe even bitterness. And so this communication has to be very thoughtful indeed, especially as our children get older. Communication needs to be very thorough. Well, not that every decision has to be explained, but many decisions will need to be explained. Because if they are going to have an understanding of why you did this, where you're trying to be good parents, and they are in turn going to try to be good parents, and they should understand the reasons behind these things. So communication is absolutely essential. If there is one other thing, and we could talk about many, many things, but time is limited. If there is one other thing that is a key to a happy home and holy children, it's to make your own home a church in miniature. And in fact, there's a small book that we often use when preparing a couple for matrimony. And this is one of the last chapters. I think it is titled just that. The Catholic Home, a Church in Miniature. And how do we make our home a church in miniature? This is a balancing act, like everything else, because again, if we force our children to too many prayers and there's not the right understanding, there's not the right spirit, well, these become a burden. And maybe something that children will fight. Granted, human nature grumbles and complains almost no matter what. So there'll have to be some forceful encouraging. But this is a foundational point, I think, of making our home a church in miniature. Your children do what you do. Not necessarily what you say. They should do what you say, but if you as parents love your faith, if you actually can convince yourself to want to say the rosary, there are many unspoken signs. It's amazing how children really are like sponges and so easily pick up on cues. If you love the rosary, if you love the faith, then they will too. So this is maybe an obvious statement, but if parents themselves become holy, then their children will be too. Now, all of these things that I mention are not only applicable to parents. Parents with young children or old, grandparents, even people who are single, religious. These can be applied across the board to make a more happy household. Because this is true in every single place, the religious house, your apartment where you stay alone, of course, the family home. If we enthrone Christ there, if it is Jesus and Mary who really run the house, then it will be full of blessings. It will be a happy and holy place. So let us ask the grandparents of our Savior, the parents of our Blessed Mother, to intercede for us in this way, to sanctify our homes, especially the Catholic family. And let us also all pray. I believe this is a very important petition. We need to pray for more vocations to the religious life and to the holy priesthood. We remember that very often. But I believe this is right next to it in importance, to pray for the sanctification of the Catholic family. As the family goes, so will go society. My dear friends, we need hope in this bleak world, in these difficult times. The hope is right here. The hope is in your homes. Again, let us pray fervently to all of the saints, our angels, our Blessed Mother, that we can sanctify ourselves. We can therefore affect many future generations. Let us all become saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.